one faith,
one
baptism.
Thank you, Jesus.
One God, Father of all, who's above all, through all, and mostly He is in. Can we say thank you, Jesus?
Thank you, Jesus.
Honor, amen, for all that God has done, doing and done, amen. We thank God for filling Sister NC, amen, Sister Dolly, and Brother Jamal, Brother Gio. Tonight will be next with the Holy Ghost on Friday evening. Can the church say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Amen. The Bible says they're rejoicing in heaven.
Yeah.
Amen. We thank God that He filled them with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Where's Brother Juan Jr.? There he is. Amen. Your day's coming. Hallelujah. Amen. So glad to see him. Amen. He was baptized 3 weeks, 4 weeks ago. Amen. Still being faithful to the Lord. Sister Deira, amen. All my young people, God, I'm so glad to see all of you all. Amen. Deira, amen. You know, it's wonderful when young people get saved and stay in church.
Amen. Praise
it's
Lord.
Wonderful when young people get saved and stay in church. So we just, today we just honor the Lord for all that He's doing. Thank God once again, my wife said earlier, for your sister Eunice being with us. Amen. Amen. And for praising the Lord. And as she said, you don't have to have the language to have the Spirit.
That's right.
Amen. The Word of God says the Spirit bears witness with the Spirit. So we don't have to understand the words, but we certainly can bear witness with the Spirit. We thank God for that. We're going to ask you to stand. We're going to have our scripture reading from Romans chapter 8. And we're going to read together verses 24. And we'll conclude by reading verse 31. Verses 24 through 31. Romans chapter 8, amen. After Minister Simon and Sister Penny finish, and Brother Jim and Sister Julie, I think she just had an altar call.
Praise the Lord, Elder.
She just got up and had an altar call, amen. But we intrude on your patience for a few minutes, amen. Thank God for seeing Philip and his wife out again. And where's the little energy man at? Oh, y'all trying to time down? Trying to time down. Amen. He's like that ever already bunny. He's still going.
Amen. Amen.
We're truly honored today. Amen. We're going to start in verse 24. It says, for we are saved by hope. For hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man sees, why does he yet hope? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He that searches the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. Because He maketh intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. And we know, wait a minute. And after you finish having hope, after you finish praying, we have assurance that we know. Amen?
Amen.
We don't guess. We do not try to figure it out. But we want to know that all things work together for what? Good to them that how many love God this afternoon? But you don't have anything to worry about because we have the assurance that whatever it is, God's going to work it out.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. To them who are called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He
justified,
them, can we say thank you, Jesus? God's word. Amen. But these things. What shall we then? What are these things? Everything that's happening around us and to us. Amen. Everything we experience in our life. What shall we say to these things? All of us got a different these things. But the conclusion is that if God be, hallelujah, if God be, who then can be? God, we thank you, hallelujah. God, we glorify you. God, we honor to read your word. God, we honor to be in thy presence, for realizing in your presence is the fullness of joy. Lord, and at your right hand, I'm blessed and evermore. For this we say thank you. And Lord, this afternoon we acknowledge that without you we can't do nothing. Our request, Lord, is that you send your anointing. Lord God, that the anointing come and break strongholds. Lord, that you set the captives free. Lord, loose those and kill those that are bruised. Lord, those that may be going through an emotional low point. Lord, we ask you, may the anointing heal. Lord, anyone that may be blind spiritually, may the anointing open their eyes. Lord, anyone in the name of Jesus that has a deaf ear, may the anointing open their spiritual ear so that I got a feeling that everything cannot get some help in church.
Yeah.
I said I got a that everything's gonna be
alright.
Maybe it doesn't look good. Maybe when I look at it through my natural eyes, I don't see anything. But when I look through my eyes of faith, I've got a feeling that everything's gonna be alright. Our message this afternoon is a personal revival. Amen. Now you know in church have a revival. Usually when you have a revival, sometimes a week, sometimes a 2 weeks, and every day we're in church, and the purpose is to revive some spirits or some saints that may need a little extra help. A personal revival, hallelujah, is us reviving ourselves. You know, King David got to one of those, I need some help moments.
All right.
Amen. When Ziklag was burned and everything was taken, his children, his wife, they had nothing left. And the Bible said that David had one of those low points.
Yeah.
That all he could do, he was so broken because he was doing God's will and doing what God wanted him to do. Anybody doing God's will and doing what God wants you to do, and then all of a sudden you're stripped, apparently, of everything. Hallelujah. David, when he got back and they saw the city was burned, everything he had was taken, wife, children, possession. They had nothing left except the clothes on their back. Amen. The Bible said David got down so low. Anybody down a little low? Anybody need a little encouragement this afternoon? Say David got down so low that all he could do was weep. Amen. David was at a point, amen, of desperation. Anybody this afternoon at a point of desperation? Say David began to weep. And he wept so much that he had no more power to weep. You know, we have some of those weeping moments. Lord, I cried. Paul Warner said, I cried my last tear yesterday. Lord, I cried so much, I don't have any more power to weep. Hallelujah. But the Bible said David came to himself and he said, I must encourage myself in the Lord. At that time, David was having a personal revival.
Come on, Elder.
Amen. In our low times, in our down moments, got to pick yourself up.
Yes.
That's the time that we must encourage ourselves in the Lord.
Yes. Talk about it.
Now, I think they might see it up here. I go down south when I first got saved, and we used to go to church. We used to sing the song all the time, brighten up the corner.
Where you are.
Where you are. Anybody know that song? I'm not going to sing it. Amen. But you know what he said? Brighten up the corner where that if everybody would take a few minutes. I don't care what you're going through. Amen. If you just take a release moment and brighten up the corner where you are. Amen. Then the whole church will be on fire.
Yes.
I heard the song say, somebody's soul needs to catch on fire. I said, somebody's soul needs to catch on fire. You need a personal revival.
Yeah.
Amen. You don't need anybody else but you and the Lord. David had to encourage himself in the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen. Just think, if we all take a few minutes and brighten up the corner where we are. Amen. You know, when you ever brighten up the corner where you are, sometimes you might have to get up and get your shout on. Sometimes you have to get up and get your praise on.
Yeah.
You got to push everybody else aside. Amen. And you got to say, give me some room.
Yeah.
I got to get my praise on.
Yeah.
Anybody need to get your praise on? Anybody need to get your shout on? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Time for a personal revival.
Yes,
amen. Paul is writing to the church of Rome. In verse 24, once again, read, for we are saved by hope. Amen. And I know President Obama made this popular. No, it wasn't Obama, it was Jesse Jackson. Made it popular, keep hope.
Keep it alive.
Do y'all read the news? Amen. He said, keep hope alive. I don't know what kind of hope Jesse Jackson was talking about, but I know the kind of hope that Paul was talking about.
Talk about it, Elder.
Because this hope comes from the Greek word elpis.
Yeah.
Which means that you have some expectation from God with joy and confidence.
Come on.
Hope is an expectation from God with joy and confidence. Greek word, E-L-P-I-S.
Yeah.
Amen. How many today have confidence or an expectation from God? But do you have joy and do you have confidence?
Hallelujah.
Well, what is the joy and confidence? What is my hope? Hallelujah. Lord, we read a little later, if I hope for that, anybody got some stuff you can't see? Lord, I don't see how the bills are going to be paid. Lord, I don't know where the job is. I don't know a whole lot.
Okay.
Amen. But if I have peace for that I seek not, then do we with, come on now, then we with patience do what?
Wait.
Somebody said, how long? I heard Job in the middle of his trial.
He found wait.
I said, I heard Job in the middle of his trial.
Yeah.
After he had funerals, after he went from being the richest man to the poorest man, after his whole body was afflicted in pain, hallelujah, he did not lose his hope.
Right.
Amen. And somebody said, well, Job, how long are you going to wait on God? He said, I'm going to wait till my, I'm not going to lose my hope. I'm not going to lose my confidence. I'm not going to lose my joy. But who are you waiting on? I'm waiting for the Lord. Job said, all the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change comes. This afternoon, you got to have a personal revival in the midst of what you're going through. Hey, amen. I don't need brother, sister, husband. I don't need you to encourage me.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I'm beginning to encourage myself in the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen. The more the trials come, the worse the situation gets, I give him more praise. Yeah. Amen. When things seem like they're at their bottom of wit's end, and I don't know where to go, I give him praise. Praise him, sing a song. I never lost my hope.
That's right.
Lord, have mercy. Has anybody this afternoon lost your hope? He said, I never lost my joy. Has anybody this afternoon lost some joy? He said, I never lost my faith. Has anybody this afternoon lost their faith? He said, but most of all, I never lost my
praise.
Come on, I never lost my
praise.
I was having a personal revival. Hallelujah. When everybody else looked at me and thought I should have been quitting, when they looked at me and thought I should have given up, I never lost my praise. Hallelujah. I heard somebody say, I'm going to praise my way. I'm going to praise my way. Come on now. You got to praise him. Amen. The devil's trying to rob God of praise that is rightfully due his name. Amen. And how do you do it? He's trying to make you independent on everybody else for him. Brothers and sisters, it's time to encourage yourselves in the Lord. So verses 25 and 24, Romans 8 talks about hope. Amen. Please, whatever you do, hope is in God. It's not in an individual. It's not in a job. It's not in finances. It's not in people. It's not in the system. Hope is in God. So he said that after you begin to hope on God, then it's time for you to what? Wait. What are you waiting for? I'm waiting for God to do what he said he's going to do. So after you finish hoping, then he said, that he's in the midst of hope, likewise, the Spirit.
Yes.
Well, what is the Spirit? The Spirit is the Holy Ghost.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Somebody said, I've been praying. How are you praying? He said, likewise, when I begin to yield it over to God, when I begin to pray in the Holy Ghost, he said, a little lady said, I started praying in English. But guess what, saints of God? You don't understand, and you don't know the things that you have need of. But when I begin to pray in the Spirit, then likewise the Spirit helped my infirmities. Infirmities are those attacks from the adversary that's trying to rob God of his praise. So he said, first I have hope, then I begin to pray in the Spirit. Amen. And the good thing about the Spirit, he said, that when you're praying in English, you don't know what to pray for as ye
are.
But the Spirit maketh God is praying to God for that need.
Yes.
And what I like about God, praying for God for a need, I don't know what I'm going to face tomorrow. To God.
Right.
And then what I like about the Spirit, amen, you know, sometimes people might look at me and misjudge me, but that's all right. But when I'm praying in the Spirit, you got to have the Holy Ghost. That takes you into another realm.
Yes.
The thing about the Holy Ghost is that when you're praying in the Holy Ghost, 1 Corinthians 14:2 said, when you're praying, you're not praying unto man, but you're praying unto how be it in the Spirit.
Yes.
We're speaking
mysteries.
So when we're praying in the Holy Ghost, yes, I pray in English, but Paul said, I pray in tongues more than ye are. Who is the greatest apostle?
Paul.
Who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament?
Paul.
So I think I'll follow his prescription.
Yeah, amen. Amen.
If God used him that mightily, then he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He said, I pray in tongues more than ye all. Amen. Why? Because when we pray in tongues, when you pray in the Spirit, no man understands it. And then you have another plus. You have another benefit to praying in the Spirit. The devil can't understand. understand.
That's right.
Thank you, Lord.
Your Holy Ghost language, your prayer language is a direct communication between you and
God.
And when we pray in English, the Bible says the devil is wiser than they. And that there's no secret things that can be withholden from him. So he knows what makes you tick. Amen? The devil knows. He's saying, you know what? They are too high right now. If I let them stay up there, I'm going to lose. So he said, you know what? Let me pull up some of that old stuff that I know about. Mm-hmm. Amen. On our spiritual heart, he comes and tries to beset us with that old stuff. When the scripture says when we come to God, he casts our past into the sea of forgiveness. He said when we come to God and we come the right way, God says your sins and your iniquities remember. So all that stuff that you put under the blood, God said it's gone.
Amen.
So what did the devil do? He shows up on the scene.
Yes, he does.
And start digging up the stuff that God has buried. Yeah. Amen. And instead of us looking up to Jesus, who's the author and finisher of our faith, instead of us beholding the Lamb of God, we begin to let him play in our minds and let him tease us with some failures, some faults. Amen. And the devil is bad. Mm-hmm. He'll go back 20 years, 30 years, and he'll use that weapon to keep you bound. But when I pray in the Spirit, God is making intercession for me according to the will of God. When you pray in the Spirit, that's the Spirit of God praying to God for you to know his will.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
We need to pray in the Spirit.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, I feel down so low. I just don't. You know, you ever get some low stuff? You don't want to look at nobody. You don't want to see anybody. You don't want to go anywhere. That's time to pray in the Spirit.
Sure.
Because likewise, the Spirit. Jude said it this way, but ye beloved, building up yourself over your most holy. Lord, thank you. When you pray in the Holy Ghost, amen. If you don't have the Holy Ghost today, when the altar call comes up, say, Lord, I need that. I need that in me. Because when I pray for that Spirit, then I thank you that the devil don't understand. Every time we utter it in English, he knows. Amen. We said, but God, I want you to do this. And all of a sudden, you tempt it or test it with what you just asked for. But when you pray in the Spirit, you don't know, and the devil don't know. Amen. So then God begins to order your steps through his word. God begins to order your walk through his
word.
God begins to order your talk through his
word.
That's when I have my personal revival. Amen. I shut everything else out but God. And I begin to pray in the Spirit. Lord, I need this. Lord, I think you should do this, but then I just yield over to the Holy Ghost. Everybody here got the Holy Ghost? If you don't have the Holy Ghost, I'm trying to tell you, it's hard to have a personal revival. Because how can you revive yourself without God's Spirit? Likewise, the Spirit helped our infirmity. So now we have hope, and now after you finish praying in the Spirit, amen, you get up, you're dancing around, you're shouting around, and everybody goes, well, what's wrong with you? Said, and we know.
Yes.
I went through all my life to get to this point that we know that all things are working together for good. But in my spiritual mind, I don't understand it in my natural man, but in my spiritual man, I know that God is working it out because I've given it to him. That's my personal revival. Amen. The reason that we have setback after setback is we're trying to do what only God can do. Once again, we have setback after setback, disappointment after disappointment, because we're trying to do something that only God can do it. Well, how does God do it? Through the Spirit.
Yeah.
But ye beloved, building up yourselves. Well, what does it do when you're building up? Amen. I'm having a personal revival. God is stirring up my spirit. Amen. Everybody around me is discouraged of the world condition. The song said the world is ever changing, but God stays the same. Hallelujah. I said the world is ever changing, but God stays the
same.
So the world is in an uproar and afraid and fearful. Amen. Fearful signs falling all around. But I'm all right. Because in my revival, I realize that my God stays the same. So he said, and we know that. Well, how did you find out, or how did you come to this conviction of knowing? I finished praying. And I finished yielding over to the Holy Ghost. Then I came back to reality. When you get in God, sometimes you can get out of reality. Then you came back to reality, but then I still have the assurance that God had my back, because he's dropped down in verse 31 and said, if God be, come on, can I get some help here? I said, if God be, who then can be against us? If God be for us, I don't care what anybody else is perfect to do against me. If God be for me, who? Now, who? I'm going to learn two Greek words today. I'm going to focus on two. Who is L-P-S, L-E-L-P-I-S. Who is T-I-S, T-I-S. Who means to ask a question with the answer that no one or nothing. So what Paul is saying, he said, after you finish expecting with joy and confidence, then no one. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Tis me, no one, nothing can stand against you, because God is fighting your battles. Hallelujah. You're fighting. We went over here in real. Amen. They got to one of those points where they needed God. Amen. And they turned their prayer life up. And the God sent them back the message. That's why it's important to pray. You know, it's all right to have your pity parties and do all that crying, but when you get down to where the road meets road, you need some help.
Yeah.
You need some strength.
Yeah.
You don't find help outside of God. If God be, can we say if God be for me? We're going to preach to each other today. Amen. If God be for me, can I get everybody to say that? You want some victory? Amen. Somebody said you only get in church what you put, or you only get out of church what you put. Then you need to put something into it. Hallelujah. If God be for me,
who then
can be against me? Once again, who is tenth? It means no one or nothing can be against you. Amen. Who can separate? He dropped down a little later, I believe, verse 35. He said, who tense can separate? No one or
nothing.
Come on, church. Deliverance. Personal revival. Who tense? Nothing or no one can separate me from the love of God that's in
Christ Jesus.
No one or nothing can separate me from the love of God. Hardship in my family can't separate me from God. Financial disaster can't separate me from God. Employment crisis can't separate me from God. Don't have a home I want can't separate me from God. Don't have a car I want can't separate me from God. Test, test, test. Hallelujah. No one or nothing. Amen. The Apostle Peter said, God has called us, elected us in him before the foundation of the world. And because God has chosen and ordained us before the foundation of the world, He said, he has begun us again unto a lively hope, a personal revival. It's impossible for God to be in your life and you to have a dead hope. I said it's impossible for God to be in your life and for you to have a dead hope. Because he's elected us in him according to his foreknowledge.
Thank you, Jesus.
Paul said he predestinated and for his foreknowledge knew. This predestination doesn't mean our predestination. Amen. It means that God saw before the foundation of the world that every one of us would be right here today. Before the foundation of the world, God saw your condition. Amen. God knew where you'd be right now. That predestination, I mean, doesn't matter how you know. They said, no matter how you live, it's going to be. No, that's not what God meant. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be what?
Holy.
Holy. You cannot be holy without the Holy Ghost. He chose us in him that we should be holy. You cannot be holy without the Holy Ghost. So to be holy, you need to have the Holy Ghost. That we should be holy and without
blame.
But somebody said, my life is full of trouble and blame because you don't have the Holy Ghost.
Come on, Elder.
Amen. When you get the Holy Ghost, we'll be holy and without
blame
before him and
love.
In love. Amen. God has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The reason that we are wallowing in our self-pity, the reason that we don't have the joy, amen. I'm not talking about joy that's that fake stuff on the outside. I'm talking about joy down in your soul. The thing about joy is when you absent from everybody else, you still got praise. Amen. As Brother Jim said, even when stuff is falling on your head all around, you still got a
praise.
Some of us just dealing with the threat of what may happen and don't have a praise for God. Amen. We've allowed circumstances. We don't believe in tests that no one or nothing. We've allowed some things to separate between us and our God. It's time to have a personal revival. Shut everything else out and get a hold of God. I think the songwriter said it best. He said, I pray and I pray until I pray and I pray until I amen. This time, my wife couldn't help me. My husband couldn't help me. Pastor, the sister, the pastor, the saints in the church could not help me. But I prayed until I, and in the middle of me finding the Lord, I got my joy back. I got my praise back. Amen. I stopped getting beat up in my mind by the adversary. For I stood on the ground and there's God before me. And then I know that all things. Can we say all things? As Minister Gibbs said about faith. Faith is not a whole of nothing until it becomes something. Get a personal revival. Get a hold of God. Separate yourselves from any and everything else. Only God has given us this assurance that if I be for you, no one can be against you. This afternoon, some of us might be fighting some battles that we almost given up on because we're trying to do it without God. Remember this, no one or nothing can come between you and God. No one. hearts, nothing can come between you and God. Just, we're going to do a little spiritual imagery right now. This was the last day of your life. This was the last day of your life. You have now passed from time into eternity. And in eternity, the books are now open. When you pass from time into eternity, you will not hear another human voice, because that is separation between the body and the soul. The next voice you hear will be the Savior when the books are open. As the Lord is reading your personal life. See, the thing about God, He keeps a personal account of every last one of us. We can't fully comprehend it, but He's keeping a book. The secret things that nobody else knows, He knows. The hidden things that nobody else knows, God knows. He's keeping the book. You have now passed from time into eternity. Your faith is now in the hands of your works. Your faith is now in the hands of your works. Will God be able to look at your book and say the account has been settled? Enter ye into the joy of the Lord. Or when the Lord opens the book, will there be some secret things? Will there be some hidden things? Will there be some things that you have not yet gotten right? And the Lord is going to open up broke. He's going to say, brother or sister, there's some things that you have not yet made right. And as a tree falls, that's the way it's going to lie. So in God, will He be able to say it well with your soul? Or will the Lord say, brother or sister, you got one thing or several things that are keeping you out of heaven? And with God, He cannot change. He remains the same. If you don't get things right now, in the judgment, God will say that. If you could have got through that one thing, you would be in heaven. But that one thing has doomed you to hell. This is the judgment seat. Amen. This is the judgment seat. This is the time, brothers and sisters, that we need to examine ourselves to see whether we're in the faith or not. Forget about everybody else. God always knows. This is the judgment. If this were your last day on earth, what would you wind up tomorrow? Say, well, I would have done it, but get rid of the bucks. It's time to